Shavuos, as we know, is the holiday which comes on the heels of Pesach, 49 days later, 7 complete weeks. And we know it's really the spiritual redemption of the Jewish people, the day where we celebrate Zman Matan Torateinu, the day we receive the Torah. I'd like to raise 2 general questions in regard to the holiday of Shavuos, and then perhaps get into a little bit more of specifics as we try to develop what the theme of the holiday of Shavuos is really about, what our mindset of Shavuos needs to be about. The first question, which is a very famous question, is the question of why are there no mitzvos maisios, specific mitzvos that we do on the night of Shavuos, on the day of Shavuos. Pesach, we have matzah. Sukkot, we have the sukkah. We have the lulav and esrog. Rosh Hashanah, we have a shofar. On many or most of the holidays, we have some physical action. We have some symbolism that allows us to gain an understanding and a deeper appreciation of what the holiday is about. How are we to understand on Shavuos a day which is one without symbols? What is the reason why there are no symbols on Shavuos? And the byproduct of this question is, what is indeed, if there are no symbols, what is indeed the focus of the day? Where is our mindset on Shavuos? It's very interesting that the Sefer Shalom, in responding to this question, notes a parallel between Shavuos and another holiday which comes after 50 days of preparation, Shemini Atzeret. And he notes that both of these days do not have any specific mitzvos attached to them. And he explains the reason for that is that they both are at a level of Kodesh Kedoshim, of Holies of Holies, and he likens it to the imagery of the black letters on the white fire, the black fire on the white fire, the black letters of Sefer Torah, which contain the words which we know are so holy, but what's even holier is the white parchment, which is blank, which contains these letters. And it's in this respect that as holy as the black letters are, the white parchment which contains these letters contains an even greater amount of holiness, a greater amount of potential. This is Shavuos, says the Nesiva Shalom. It's a time which cannot be contained by letters. It's a time that encompasses so much more, this Kodesh Kedoshim, this Holy of Holies. And this needs to be explained and developed even further. If the first question is, where are the symbols, or what are the symbols of Shavuos? The second question is based on a Gemara in Pesachim, a very famous Gemara. There's an argument between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua on how one celebrates the holidays. Rabbi Eliezer says the festivals should be celebrated either through the enjoyment of food and drink, or through the spiritual enjoyment of the Torah. Or, while Rabbi Yeshua feels that the celebration of the day should be divided, one half devoted to physical enjoyment, the other to be spent in the study of Torah. And basically, the argument is really, do heaven and earth meet? Can the physical and spiritual coexist together? Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is either one or the other, while Rabbi Yeshua's opinion is you can really have a synthesis of both. But what's fascinating is the end of this Gemara. The end of the Gemara said, but all, according to Rabbi Eliezer, agree that the Shavuot festival specifically should be celebrated through earthly enjoyment. Why? Yom Shenitna Bo Torah, for it is the day on which the Torah was given. Very fascinating. Even those who hold that the day should be spent with either one or the other would hold that on Shavuos you must spend time with physical pleasures. You must spend time with the earthly enjoyment. You must spend time eating and drinking. And the obvious question, as noted in Rabbi Breuer's book, Chochmah Musar, would it not be logical that the day which brought us the Torah should be commemorated exclusively through the spiritual enjoyment of Torah? If we had to choose any one holiday that we would say would be the holiday completely forgot, clearly it would be Shavuos. So is it not strange that specifically Shavuos that we say no? That even if you're going to hold by the opinion that everything has to be exclusively for the spiritual, Shavuos has to have the physical element. How are we to understand this? And the famous answer that Rabbi Breuer quotes is to teach us that God's Torah alone can elevate this earthly existence to true life. God's proximity does not tolerate renunciation of physical pleasure. And Israel's task in the midst of mankind is to regain for this world its God-willing aspect of paradise. This is what Torah is about. Torah is about elevating the physical. And therefore, on the day of Shavuos, which is the day, Yom Shenit Na'avo Torah, the day the Torah was given, it's specifically this day that we celebrate in a physical way. This too needs to be further explained, further developed. What is it about Shavuos that begs for the physical enjoyment? The symbols of the day, the aspect of the eating of the day, are two major focus to try to perhaps understand what is or what are the motifs of Shavuos. What are our mindsets that we need to have on Shavuos? I'll say at the outset that Shavuos is a very esoteric holiday, the day that we got the Torah, and the answers that we're going to develop will be a bit esoteric, albeit very important. The first approach I'd like to take is based on Siftei Chaim, Rav Chaim Friedlander's Hatzal, where he asks another question in regard to Shavuos. He says, we know that the Mamad Har Sinai experience where the Jews got the Torah is really not accurate where the Jews received the Torah, because what we really received on the day of Shavuos was the Aseres HaDibros, the 10 utterances. The rest of the Torah was given over a course of time in Midbar Sinai, by Har Sinai, in Ol Moed. It was given over a course of time. To say that we received the Torah on Shavuos is really not accurate. We received an element of the Torah. We received part of the Torah. And that's why when one understands, for example, the Rassad Yigaon, that says that the entire 613 mitzvot are included in the 10 utterances, it really responds to this particular question. So what is it that we're celebrating on Shavuos if it wasn't really the Torah that was given, only a very small selection? So Siftei Chaim offers an answer based on the Ramchal and Das Tfunos. And it's very important to appreciate as a background what the Das Tfunos is about to say. In life, we know that so often we take our lives for granted, we take our health for granted, we take so much of the day-in, day-out routine so much for granted. We wake up in the morning and we can almost expect what the day will bring. And this inertia that we have toward life is also found within Torah observance as well. One mitzvah comes our way, one bracha comes our way, we fulfill the mitzvah, we don't fulfill the mitzvah, but it's very much by rote, it very much lacks energy, lacks passion, lacks meaning, lacks understanding. And in reality, if one thinks about it, our Judaism is so much taken for granted. We don't sit and appreciate the fact that we're Jewish, that we have direction in life, that we have meaning in life, that we're not living our lives groping in the darkness, but rather mitzvot give us meaning. Mitzvot develop our personality. Mitzvot allow us a relationship with God. What is Shavuos about? Shavuos is a day where we're able to step back and appreciate what it means to be a Jew, to appreciate what it means to have a relationship with God, to appreciate the greatest gift possible, the greatest chesed given to us, and that's the Torah. That's what Shavuos is about. As the Das Tfunos explains, the greatness of Mamad Har Sinai is not the focus as much on receiving the Torah as on the fact that we became mitzuvim v'osim. We became obligated to do on Shavuos. Shavuos was the time that we then, at that moment, developed a relationship with God, where God chose us among all the nations and said, you and I have a relationship together. I am commanding you a certain set of rules. It's not as much as whether the rules were given, whether the experiences, whether the whole mode of life was given on Shavuos, as much as the fact the relationship was developed, the energy is contained within the day of Shavuos. And as Rabbi Katz explains so beautifully, he says in Living Inspired that mitzvot live on the higher plane. The root of the word mitzvah is closely related to savta, togetherness, because a mitzvah brings us together with God, an act which has the potential to lift the one who performs it into a direct relationship with the source of all existence, certainly as a power far greater than mere intermediate levels. The Sfas Emes Seger Rebbe said, that when Hashem wills an action and we carry it out, we become one with Him. His desire at the supernal level formulates a command. That command, that direct expression of His will, is brought down and formulated as the commandment of the Torah. We then make His will our will. We desire to carry out that commandment, and we carry it out in the finite physical world. His will is done. Together we have closed the cosmic circuit. The circuit begins at the highest level possible, and we bring it into action. The voltage is indescribable, the flow of current infinite. Together we have become one cycle of cause and effect, and we form the desire in our minds to do His will. We become a miniature version of the entire process, a true Tzelem Elokim, image of God. This partnership, this ability to take God's will, if we think about it for a moment, it's an incredible idea. Shavuos is a moment of empowerment. Shavuos is a moment where we're able to take God's will and bring it down into this world and be able to actualize that God's will. That's what we got at Mamad Har Sinai. Ilu kervanu l'sne Har Sinai v'lo natan lanu z'Torah dayenu. As we say in that God that He brought us to Har Sinai, not given us the Torah, but enough. What does this mean? It means that the experience of Har Sinai, the experience of being given this partnership, of being able to form this relationship, this mitzvah, this savta with God, that in itself, that electricity, that current, is what we're celebrating on Shavuos. We're celebrating the specialness that we have as Jews, that we are able to form such a close relationship with God and be able to be, so to speak, partners with God in the revelation of His word and carrying out His action. That's the celebration. Those mitzvos that we take for granted all year, those brachos that we take for granted, the kibud av va'em that we take for granted, the kashrut, the Shabbos, all those mitzvos that we perhaps don't even think about. It almost becomes like a mitzvah checklist in our lives. Shavuos is the time to step back and examine and appreciate and say, wow, what an opportunity I have. What an experience it is. Let me stand and appreciate and not take for granted my relationship with God. I think this can perhaps go even a step further, as the Ramchal explains. And to appreciate the next idea of the Ramchal, I think we have to explain a very powerful medrash, the way the Sifrei Chaim develops it. The medrash on the verse in the third chapter of Shir Shirim, the 11th verse, says, "Sena re'ena benot Zion, b'melech Shlomo, ba'atara she'itra lo imo b'yom chatunato v'yom simchat libo." Go forth and gaze, O daughters distinguished by loyalty to God, upon the King Shlomo, who is adorned with the crown that his mother made for him on the day of his wedding, on the day of his joint gladness of his heart. And the rabbis in Shir HaShirim, Rabbi said, you look throughout the entire Tanakh, you never find that Bathsheba is crowning Shlomo, her son, king. And as we all know, Shir HaShirim is an allegory to the king who owns the peace, to whom peace belongs. That's what Hamel Shlomo means in reference to God in the book of Shir HaShirim. So the question becomes, what does it mean that the nation crowns God? The Ima, the mother, crowns God. Who is this mother that crowns God on the day of his wedding, which we know is the day of the giving of the Torah, and B'yom Simchat Libo, the day of the tabernacle's consecration? How do we understand this? So the Medrash says that Rabbi Yochanan said, that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai asked Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Yossi, once, "Did you ever hear from your father an explanation of this Medrash?" So Rabbi Elazar responded with the following. He says, "It can be likened to a king who had an only daughter, and he loved this daughter exceedingly. And he used to call her my beloved daughter. And the love was so intense that he called her my sister. And that love was even so intense that he called her my mother. Likewise," says Rabbi Elazar, "the following. God in Shir HaShirim refers to us as a bat. He also refers to us as a sister, Pitri li achoti rayati yonati tamati, as well as he refers to us as a mother. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai heard this, he kissed him on the head and said, it was worth just to hear this. Idea is worth coming. What does this mean? Ask the Sifti Chaim, how do we understand this medrash that we're God's daughter, we're God's sister, kivyachol, we're God's mother, kivyachol? What's the meaning of this? So it's very profound. A son or a daughter, a child, is the continuation of the father. They are the ones who inherit and fill the father's place. They continue the way of the father for future generations. When we refer to as the daughter of God, it's a reference to the Jewish people who are carrying out God's will in this world and therefore are increasing the godliness, the kavod yisbarach, the God's honor in this world. And that's what Torah mitzvahs are. We relate to God as a child who continues in the Father's ways, who does the Father's will. A much deeper level is that of a sister. The medrash on this pasuk that we quoted, a pitchili achoti rayati, open up for me my beloved sister, Yonati Tamati, this perfect dove. Rabbi Yanai said, don't read it as Tamati, the perfect one, but rather Teumati, my twin. What does this mean? As if we're Kivyachol Kodesh Baruch Hu's twin. So he says very beautifully. He says, so often in life, one does not understand God, or one does not fully appreciate God, unless people act in a godly way, and then these attributes of God are able to be perceived in this world. As we find in the Shemone Esrei, we say the God of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the God who is Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibur, Vanora, the great, the mighty, the awesome. What's the connection? So as Rabbi Kirzner notes in the Art of Jewish Prayer, where Abraham saw a loving kindness manifested in this world as a testimony to God's existence, and he himself served God through his own trait of loving kindness. Yitzchak found God through his own character traits of discipline and self-control. Through this attribute of Gvura, Isaac was able to see the clarity of God's spiritual manifestations in the world. We say the God of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov because it was through Avraham we saw the aspects and the attributes of God's kindness, the Gadol aspect of God. It was through Yitzchak they were able to see the Gibor, the aspects of self-discipline in God. Very often individuals behaving in a certain way allow us a reflection of the attributes of God. In that respect, we become the twin, the sister, kivyachol, of God. It's a famous story, Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach, who had bought an animal and found a very expensive jewel in the ear of the animal, and he returned the animal to the owner. He returned the jewel to the owner. He said, I bought the animal, I didn't buy the jewel. And the Arab who had owned this animal said, praise be the God of Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach. He didn't say praise Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach, but rather the God of Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach. Because clearly if an individual is going to act this way, you see the godly attributes in this person. It's reflection of God. Acting like a sister is acting like somebody who is able to manifest God's qualities in this world, and it's a reflection back, a twin, back to the original owner. But how do we understand the mother? Child, a sister, but a mother we know is the relationship very much of giving, of influencing. So he explains very deeply. He says, from the time of Adam HaRishon until the time of the Torah, there were 26 generations. And these parallel the 26 times that we find in one chapter in the Psalms, the phrase, Ki lo lam chasto, for God's everlasting kindness lasts forever. This is a reference to the way God, says the Medrash, sustained the world for those 26 generations on a pure gift of God. Not based on the people, but it was an altruistic gift of the chesed of God, the kindness of God. What happened at the time of the giving of the Torah? Suddenly, what was shifted was now very much the world, and what happens in this world are dependent on the actions of the Jewish people. The greatness of Mamad Har Sinai was the aspect that in a certain sense we became the Ima, we became the mother, we have the ability, whatever this may mean, to affect changes in this world. where an action that we do down here has cosmic effects in the physical and the spiritual world, whether we understand this or not. It's almost very much like electricity, where we understand that if we turn on a light switch, the light goes on. Do we understand all the currents and the voltage and that goes on behind the electricity? No. We just see what goes on in front of us. The model Rabbi Feuer gives is a model of the technician in the space shuttle who's sitting pressing buttons and pressing commands, and the spaceship goes in different directions. Has he ever seen a spaceship? Probably not. Does he understand what the commands mean? Absolutely not. They're secret top codes. But he knows that if he presses X button, the space shuttle will go this way, and Y button, it will land in this place. And this is what life is about. At Mamad Har Sinai, it wasn't just the question that we formed a partnership with God. It's much deeper than that. At Mamad Har Sinai, what happened was God gave us a tremendous amount of electric current, that the actions that we do have a tremendous spiritual and physical effect within this world. And so Silas Yesharim notes in the first chapter, the world was created for man's use, and man is the center of a great balance. If man follows earthly pursuits and is drawn away from his creator, he is impaired, and the rest of the world is impaired along with him. If he becomes master over himself and unites himself with his creator, using the world only to help him in the service of creator, he is elevated, and the world is elevated along with him. And we have no idea. We know many examples of this, where you can say something to a person, you can do something, and you have no clue of what effect it's going to have on the person. Once heard a story of an individual who was told once that, she was told, you won't believe it, you perform Tchiyas HaMetim, you perform resurrection of the dead. The woman turned to her and said, what are you talking about? I haven't revived anyone dead, you know, what's going on? She said, I'll tell you. She said, yesterday you were at a different shul than you normally daven at, and there was a simcha going on in the shul. And he went over to the person whose simcha was and said, wow, you have a simcha and you just recently celebrated a simcha. You must be a very lucky person. Let me rub myself against you because I want to be lucky too. And this individual said that when this woman heard this, she came over to her and started crying. She said, this woman has had difficulties in her life, and no one's ever said, you're a lucky person, I'd like to touch you. When that woman said to this other lady, she said, you have no idea how you revived her, how you made her feel like $1 million. This is the power that we have that sometimes we don't even realize it. We can say something to somebody in such a casual way, but it can have such an impact on a person, it can literally have the ability to revive a person. This has to be understood not only with things we say, but things we do, has such a cosmic effect. And that's where Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai kissed Rabbi Eleazar. He says, for this alone, it was worth hearing this, because this is kissing him on the head. This is the yesod. This is a fundamental principle in life. The things that we take so for granted, those mitzvah that's like a checklist. Oh, I said a bracha. Oh, I kept Shabbos. Oh, I kept kosher. Things that we take so for granted every time we do a mitzvah has such tremendous spiritual effects, has the ability to change so much of the cosmic world. That's what was given at Mamad Har Sinai. That's the experience that we're celebrating on Shavuos. The experience that we are empowered with tremendous, indescribable amount of electricity, of what we can affect in this world. The day of Shavuos is a day where we don't take our Judaism for granted. It's a day where we appreciate that mitzvos have the ability to connect with God and to influence the world around us. It allows us to step back and not take things for granted. And the Ramchal and Derech Hashem takes this one step further. He says it's not only a question that this is true of the mitzvos that we do, but even in regard to the physical pleasures in this world, if we do them and we make use of this world in a manner that we can be able to allow ourselves to keep God's commandments, we eat so that we can learn Torah, we eat that we can do God's mitzvot, we exercise so we can do God's mitzvot, so then we're able to affect the same act of perfection as in keeping mitzvot. Why do we eat on Shavuos? It's teaching us this profound lesson that when we're talking about a day of appreciating mitzvot, it's not just appreciating mitzvot. It's appreciating relationship with God, which is able to take every aspect of a person's life, including the eating and the drinking. All of this can be elevated for the service of God and therefore has such tremendous potential to change this world. With this, it's now clear what are the symbols of the holiday of Shavuot. You know what the symbols of the holiday of Shavuot are? Says the Matnat Chaim, it's just experiencing a day with God. That's enough. Whether it's the Kiddush that we begin, where in the Kiddush we say, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Am, you've separated us from the other nations. It's a day where we recognize Jewish identity. It's a day where we end the day with Havdalah, where we say, God, you've made a distinction between Yisrael, La'amim, the Jewish people, and the rest of the nation. It's a day where the entire day is Atah Bechartanu, you have chosen us from all the nations. It's a day where we say, Asher Kedishanu Mitzvotav, that you have commanded us in the mitzvot. The whole day, the davening, the brachos, the experience of keeping a day of doing mitzvot, of having relationship with God, and that is the symbols of Shavuot. To have any other symbol is taking a person away from the focus of the day. The focus of the day is to appreciate that we have a relationship with God in general, called empowering us in doing mitzvot. If we were to have a specific mitzvah, it would derail us from the whole concept of being special, the whole concept of being chosen, the concept of Kervana Lusay Har Sinai, and we get caught up in the minutiae of that mitzvah. By being able to step back and seeing the forest and not the trees, we're able to appreciate what's called a religious experience. Enjoy doing mitzvot. It doesn't have to be a specific mitzvah. Whatever it may be, it's an alatiyat yadayim, washing your hands, or hamotzi, or this piece of davening. Whatever it is, it's the experience of not taking this for granted, but being able to appreciate that every mitzvah that we have and every morsel of food that we eat is an experience of elevation. It's an experience of connection. And Shavuos, therefore, becomes the day, the mindset of Shavuos, is a day where we sit back and we say, thank you, God, for giving us this relationship. Thank you, God, for giving us the Torah. We're here to appreciate and to show our gratitude and to experience the beauty involved and inherent in this concept. That's Shavuos. Shavuos is appreciating the electricity that we've been given, called being a Jew, called having a relationship with God, called the ability of not taking mitzvot for granted, but appreciating that mitzvot are such a sweet part of our lives, and that we appreciate having this relationship with God. And so often during the year, if we get caught up and we can't focus in on it, Shavuos Day is a reminder of that special moment when God became married to us, kivyachol, and we become empowered to create the electric currents of the mother, of the influencing figure. The second aspect of Shavuos really dovetails this idea. And that's a beautiful essay of the Matnat Chaim of Rav Salomon, where he asks, what is it that is the focus of Shavuos? And he quotes a beautiful Ramban who says that we know that our rabbis explain that another name of Shavuos is Atzeret. Like Shemini Atzeret, which is the last day of Sukkot, Shavuos is really the last day of Pesach. And says the Ramban in such a gorgeous language, he says, therefore, the 49 intervening days between Pesach and Shavuos are really Kulam Kedoshim, are really holy days, and they really should be considered Kicholo Shel Moed, like a Chol Moed. It's a time between Pesach and Shavuos is really like the first day of Sukkot and the end day of Sukkot. It's a time of Simcha. It's a time of Chol Moed. And yet, we find that later on in history, our rabbis have taken this very time, which seems to be such a joyous time at the outset, and have said that this is a time of mourning because of the students that Rabbi Akiva died. So we need to understand, how are we to reconcile the mood of Chol HaMoed with the time of Avelus, the time of mourning? So Solomon notes, he says, we need to understand a little bit more deeply what is indeed the mood of Shavuos. What is our mindset that we need to have on Shavuos? He quotes the Gemara that we made reference to in the past, that we read, there was a Takana of Ezra that we read, the brachos and the klolos, the blessings and the curses of Parshas Bechukos, like 2 weeks before Shavuos. Paralleling the 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, we read the blessings and curses in Parshas Ki Tavo. The Gemara explains why. As well as Shavuos is a Yom Hadin as well, a Day of Judgment. As rabbis explain, Ubatzeret al Peirot Ha'ilan, on Atzeret, on Shavuos, the fruit of the trees are judged. So explains the Shlo HaKadosh, in the name of the Sefer Tolas Yaakov, that just like a Rosh Hashanah, when God recreated the world, is checking out the deeds of mankind, likewise, the day where God gave us the Torah is also a day of recreation. It's the day that we just spoke about, of energy, of giving over this renewed charge. And God also looks down and he judges, how are the people accepting this charge? What is the response of the people every year having this charge renewed in their lives? The Peiros Se'ilah, the fruit of the tree, is really symbolic of the Jews, of the Neshamas, that come from the ultimate tree of life of God himself. If we understand on the first level that Shavuos is a day where we recognize where God gave us this indescribable energy, that he empowered us with such tremendous energy, the question becomes, how do we respond to this? The question becomes, what is our relationship with God? God comes down to us on Shavuos and says, today's our wedding anniversary. How do you feel about the marriage? How do you feel about the relationship? What are you doing about the marriage? What are you doing to give to this relationship? And that explains why the language in the Korban Musaf, in the additional offerings, which are exactly the same for the festivals, is changed by Rosh Hashanah and changed by Shavuot. On Rosh Hashanah, instead of the word v'hikraftem and you shall offer, it says v'asitem, you shall make. And our rabbis explain that when you come to God in judgment Rosh Hashanah and you come out in peace, it's as if God has recreated you. And likewise, we find one word distinction as well by the Shavuos offering, where it doesn't speak about a Seiri Zim Echad L'Chatad, one goat offering for a sin offering. Why not? So the Gemara says in the Rishami in Rosh Hashanah, because on Shavuos, God says, once you've accepted the Torah on yourselves, it's as if you've never sinned. This is the concept that Shavuos, like Rosh Hashanah, is a day of din, a day of judgment. If this is the case, so then we have to ask ourselves the opposite question. How can we understand Shavuos to be a Cholo Shamoe? Shavuos to be, or the Sfirsa Omer period, is a time of rejoicing to anticipate the Simcha, the joy of Shavuos. How do we understand that? Shavuos, we're told, you should rejoice in front of God. How do we understand that Shavuos, that we sit and eat? Shavuos should be a Yom HaDin. It should be a day we sit in trepidation. What is Shavuos about? Is Shavuos a day of din, of judgment? Or Shavuos a holiday of enjoying and rejoicing and having, you know, good food and good wine? What is really the motif of Shavuos? So here comes the key. Explains the Matnat Chaim the following. That indeed, God did us a great favor by making the Siyantif of Shavuos a day of judgment. Why? Because God wanted to judge us when we are at a time being so involved with enjoying Torah, with enjoying the festival, that he's judging us bedafka through this Simcha. On Shavuos, we sit and we take upon ourselves, like our forefathers did, to keep the Torah. And we do this by sitting and learning. And we do this by sitting and eating and rejoicing. In a state of learning all night, in a state of eating and drinking, it's a state where we're saying, yes, we don't take religion for granted. We want to stay up all night and learn. Or during the meals, we'll spend more time learning than we normally do. And we're eating and drinking and showing that Torah life is beautiful for us. It's not a burden. It's not, I can't do, but rather it's an experience of closeness with God. When we're enjoying the Yontif day, when we're enjoying being a Torah Jew, it's in this mode of thinking that this is when God judges us. This is why we eat and drink on Yontif, to say we love Torah. We want to celebrate our love for Torah. We're going to eat, we're going to drink, we're going to show our simcha. We're specifically very happy today. God is judging us very much, not so much on our actions, but on our ratzon, on our desire. And this says the Matnat Chaim is the major difference. Rosh Hashanah is the day where God looks at our actions and says, where are your actions? On Shavuos, God says, where is your mindset? Where is your ratzon? And this is what's important. How do you view being a person who's given this opportunity of keeping Torah and mitzvot? Are you excited about it? Is it a burden to you? How do you look at Shavuos? How do you look at the opportunity if people stay up all night or people spend time, extra time learning on Shavuos and appreciating what Shavuos is all about? Where is your mindset? Is it, oh no, I got to learn more. Oh no, I got to keep more. Or is it, wow, Torah is so beautiful. I appreciate living this life. There's no greater pleasure for me than the pleasure of being somebody who's involved in the learning and the practicing of Torah. This is what is so beloved to me. God comes down on Shavuos, on the day of this anniversary, on the day that we're given this tremendous energy, and says to us, how do you feel about this gift? How are you relating to this gift? What are you doing with this gift? And when he sees that we're involved in the Yontif and enjoying the Yontif, he says, ah, I see it's indeed pleasurable to you. It's something that's very pleasing to you. And then we're successful in judgment. Brings to mind what they say about the Vilna Gaon, that when a student would come to want to learn his yeshiva, instead of giving him the normal faher, the normal test of, here's the page of Talmud, explain it, he would say to the boy, here's the page of Talmud, I want you to go over it 10, 15 times and come back to me. And after 10, 15 times, the grah would say, well, what do you think? And he would say, oh, I know this cold. I've seen this 10, 15 times. It's coming out of my ears. The grah would say, forget it. I don't want anything to do with you. If the boy would say, wow, every time I look at it, I grow to appreciate it more. I grow to understand it more. I develop new ideas. I appreciate it more. That was the Talmud. That was the student the grah wanted. This has to be our relationship to Torah. Now I've seen this before. I've learned this before. Another mitzvah. But wow, we understand that every mitzvah, every time we learn, it's forming a deeper relationship. It's another embrace with God. And that the Torah experience, it's an experience of Yishakeni means Shikot Pihu, that God kisses us from the kisses of his mouth. And when we learn, we return those kisses. It's that embrace, it's that closeness. That's what we're celebrating on Shavuot. And then we can understand what the Nesiv Shalom Muslim and the Rebbe Zatzal explains. That what is the Yom HaDin, what is the judgment on Shavuos? Or Rosh Hashanah is the Din Al Gashmias, on the physicality of this world. The Banai Chayim Zonai, our children, our livelihood, our health. And Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin of Ruchnias. It's a day of judgment of the spiritual level, which is how much spiritual opportunities are you going to have this year? How many moments of inspiration are you going to have? And we know in life, whether it's in learning or in difficult decisions that we have in life, we need those moments of clarity. We need those moments where God enlightens us and directs us with the correct path. All those moments when we'll be open to a relationship with God, we'll be open to inspiration, are decided on Shavuos. The more we're able to access this aspect, the more we show our desire, our ratzon hapnimi, our inner desire to have a relationship with God, the more opportunities God has established for us during the year, that we'll be able to have these inspirations and these moments of clarity of vision. this is what Shavuos is about. Shavuos is about, once you've been given this incredible gift called Torah, called relationship with God, the second aspect of Shavuos is, how do you view this? That's the Day of Judgment. We sit, eat, and drink, and show it's very beloved to us. We want to learn Torah. We want to have a relationship with God. Then we're judged successfully in this judgment. And perhaps as a final point, what is it that's going to allow us to be successful in this judgment? What is it that's going to allow us to prepare ourselves adequately, like we have by Elul, that we'll be able on Shavuos to embrace this reality that we don't take Judaism for granted? We enjoy Judaism, we enjoy a relationship with God. So it's perhaps to understand very briefly what Sfiras HaOmer is about. On the one hand, we know Sfiras HaOmer, as the Matan Chaim explained, is about working on our midos and our character traits. No matter how much good intentions we have, if we have negative character traits of gaiva, of pride, of atzlus, of laziness, so we're not going to be able to implement this relationship with God. Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, that Derech Eretz has to come before Torah, explains Rabbeinu Yonah, the third chapter of Ethics of Our Fathers, you need to work on yourself. Character improvement has to be number one before we can have a relationship with God in terms of the acceptance of the Torah. That's the first and foremost aspect of what the period of Sfiras HaOmer is about. And in that way, the death of Rabbi Akiva's students is really apropos with this Chol HaMoed. Yes, it's a tremendous, joyous time. It's a time preparing us for this great moment where we say, God, we love you. We love our relationship. But it's also a serious time that we understand if we don't work on ourselves, then we're just fooling ourselves. And we have to be honest when Shavuos comes and we're able to answer in the affirmative, yes, it's not a burden to be a Jew, it's a pleasure to be a Jew. The second thing to work on, perhaps, in Sfiras HaOmer is what Rav Wolbe develops in Al Eshur so beautifully. On the Pasuk, Limnot Yameinu Kein Hoda V'Navi Levav Chochma, the concept of counting our days. What the Sfiras HaOmer does is not just physically count 42 days, whatever it is, but rather it allows us to appreciate the concept called appreciation of our days. Like the man felt Varyom B'Yomo every single day, there's this beauty in not going through life and having a week pass, 2 months pass, 10 years pass, and you say to yourself, what have I done with myself? And he likens it to very beautiful imagery. Perhaps we'll develop a little bit differently, but the imagery of a kli, of a vessel. If we wake up every morning and say that today our lives is like an empty cup, how am I going to fill this cup? How am I going to fill this bag with positive virtues today, with spiritual experiences today? And then at the end of the day, to go through the bag and say to myself, what good qualities have I picked up today? What positive things have I done today? How have I grown today? We're able to appreciate, like God recreates the world every day, that we need to recreate ourselves every day. And Sfiras HaOmer is a message to us. Don't let a day go by that we haven't examined ourselves. Don't let a day go by that we haven't been able to say, how have I filled up that spiritual cup of my life? How am I a different person today than I was the day before? To be able to appreciate the chokhma, the brilliance of Dvar Yom B'Yomo every single day, Limnot Yomeinu, to be able to count our days. And therefore, in conclusion, what is the symbols of Shavuos? So the symbols of Shavuos is exactly what the Nesiva Shalom said that we began with. The symbols of Shavuos is the white parchment. It's the experience of being Jewish. It's what all the black letters are encompassed in that white parchment. It's the experience of closeness to God. It's not something you can formulate with words. On the first level, it's that energy that we get from God, that the anniversary is on Shavuos. And the symbols, therefore, is just a relationship with God. Kiddush, Havdalah, Mitzvot, Davening. That in itself, to appreciate this and to not take it for granted, and to appreciate what we were given is what Shavuos is about. It's a day where the eating itself says to us we can elevate the eating as well to high spiritual levels. But much deeper than that, if we appreciate this and we understand this, so we understand the second part of Shavuos is then that God judges us on this very aspect and says, do you really find this a pleasurable experience? Do you find our relationship a pleasurable relationship? Have you thought about our relationship? Where do you stand in your mindset? It's a judgment of desire in terms of your relationship. To step back on Shavuos, to say, yes, God, I enjoy being a Jew. I understand it's a special privilege. I understand the tremendous impacts I can have in this world. I don't take mitzvah observance for granted. I don't take our relationship for granted. I find meaning and purpose in life. And I love and I desire a closer relationship with you. And then when Shavuos comes, I take this opportunity to feel this Jewish pride, to feel the matikos ha-Torah, the sweetness ha-Torah, the sweetness of mitzvos. And in this respect, we should all be worthy of being successful in our judgments and having many opportunities in the coming year of tremendous amount of divine inspiration, divine guidance within our lives.